welcome to Triple Hopped Session Series. I'm Charlie. You can find me on Instagram at CharlieAiling1 and at CraftCanGang.
And I'm Ryan, and you can find me on Instagram under the Bearded Beer Blog.
So as this is the first episode of Triple Hop Session Series, we're going to start with a bit of an explanation as to what the podcast is, what it isn't, and where it came from. I do think it makes sense to start with the genesis of this podcast and why we are making this now. So we both absolutely love recording the full-scale Triple Hopped episodes, but they're a huge amount of work. By the time we've all organised to have the same beers, sorted out any breweries or guests that we're featuring, found a time that's convenient for everyone to record, recorded it, then given Simon the unenviable task of a barrel-sized portion of post-production, it means that there are really big gaps between episodes. And on a normal basis, Ryan and I have a bunch of Zoom calls where we inevitably end up talking about a really wide range of beer-related topics, obviously with varying levels of coherence that tends to go down the more we chat and drink. So we thought we'd have a crack at recording and sharing some of them. So that brings me quite nicely onto what the show isn't. This is absolutely not a replacement for the full Triple Hopped episodes. We still love them. We'll still be releasing those, and there are some absolute crackers lined up. So finally, what is Triple Hopped Session Series? Quite simply, it is a session version of the big show. To put it in beer parlance, it's like a smashable podcast that you can slam a few of in the afternoon without falling asleep on the sofa at seven. These episodes are going to be a bit shorter than you might expect from a Triple Hopped episode. We're going to try and keep them to around 30 or 40 minutes, and we're going to kind of focus them in on a topic that we find interesting enough between us to mull over for half an hour or so. Though we're not going to be featuring breweries on these shows like with the main show, we're going to try and be as big as possible as we can on community engagement. We're going to be inviting our beeriest friends to come and join us on the show as we tackle tough topics like day drinking versus evening drinking, best beer and snack combos, and top tips for beercations, i.e. going on holiday for beer. On top of that, we are going to have three main types of show that we do. First is going to be draft picks, which I'll come on to in a minute. Second is going to be a Room 101 type show, where we throw our beery pet peeves into the fires of hell. And then kind of general discussions around topics and various curiosities of the beer scene. Today, as the first one, we're going to be doing a draft show. And what this involves is both of us selecting, separately, by the way, selecting things that we deem to be the best in a certain category. And we're then going to discuss what we think is the best and why. After the episode, we're going to post our choices up on the Triple Hopped Instagram story as a poll, and you can vote for who's the winner and who's the loser, and I promise we won't take it personally. So this first one we're doing is on the topic of recruiting people into the craft beer scene. So imagine that you're some kind of craft beer Jehovah's Witness, and you're going door to door with a case of beers to try and convince everyone you meet to fall in love with craft beer. What is the beer that you'd give them to hook them on craft beer for life? I appreciate that's quite a wide question, so we're going to narrow it down into four style categories and then a final kind of wild card game changer. So we're going to talk about our picks for best pale, which could be, you know, everything from a pale ale to an IPA, dipper or tipper, or even quadruple IPA if we think that's going to convert someone. Our favorite dark beer for this, which could be a stout, a porter, anything in that vein. Our favorite sour, so that could be something spontaneous or wild, or a kettle or quick sour. Our favorite crispy boy, so all things from the world of lager. And then something that we're calling the game changer, which is a beer that we think upon first taste of it completely changes your perspective on what beer could be. So that's kind of roughly how the show is going to run. I'm aware that I've done a lot of talking and Ryan has just given you his Instagram handle. So We're going to start the draft picks in a minute. We're doing it as a snake draft, which means Ryan gets to pick first, then I get two picks, and then he gets two picks, and we go through to the end. So, Ryan, tell us about your converting pale ale.
So I've gone with what I consider one of the best IPAs in the country. I've gone with Dayers Into the Haze, Citrus Simcoe IPA, 6.5%. I think it's just one of those great beers where you have it for the first time and you just kind of like knocks you back a little bit compared to a standard beer, I guess. Straight from the off, you're going to get that trademark Dayer feel, pillow soft, all the tropical citrus fruits. And I also think it's a good gateway beer into the higher ABV for someone. So like, it's a good introduction for the dippers and the tippers. Just an all-round solid IPA. I don't think there's probably a better one out there for like a core range.
That's the thing. It's a core beer, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's like, I kind of, for my draft picks overall, I've gone kind of safe. Let's put it that way. I went a little bit safe apart from one. And I think I've gone a little bit out there. But we'll talk about that later on, obviously. But my IPA, yeah. There was a few I looked at. Another one from there was, it was Invoice. But for me, Into the Haze, I just think it's always the quality of it is always class. It's always a good go-to beer for me. So that's why I went with, I've gone with Into the Haze.
So I'm glad you go with Invoice, mate, because one thing I neglected to mention when I was talking about the kind of premise of this is that if either of us picks something that the other one has on their list before they get to it, they then can't pick it as well. So Invoice Me was my reserve. That is a wafer thin margin. So have you ever given like Into the Haze from someone that wasn't into beer?
I have actually given it to my parents.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those beers. So like my parents are into the lagers, whereas my dad isn't really a fan, but my mother has like she enjoys all the crafty stuff and she's had the Into the Haze before. And it's one of the ones that she's enjoyed having before. But apart from that, no, I think it's just for me personally, if it was one that I was going to give to somebody, I think that's one of the beers I would probably select.
Yeah.
So what about yourself? What have you gone with?
So I was fairly confident that you weren't going to pick this one first, but I did pick a reserve in the spirit of the game. So I think in 2019, at the beginning of 2019, Verdant did a crowdfunding campaign and I kicked myself every day that I didn't invest in it. I don't know why I didn't. I'm an unashamed Verdant fanboy. As like a reward for the investors, like later on in the year, I think they brewed it twice. They released something called Thanks a Million, which was like a celebratory beer because they reached 1 million in their crowdfunding target. And initially they sent the cans to their investors and then they put a really small amount of it on keg at the seafood bar, and I was lucky enough to be there when it was on keg, and it's just a 5.5% all mosaic pale, and it is one of the most crushable beers I've ever come across. I mean, at the time I was there with Katie, my other half, she wasn't tremendously into beer at the time, but even she was like, wow, this is really, really something. And it was that good. They got such good feedback about it that they brewed it again. And I don't think you could buy cans everywhere, but like if you knew the local spots down in and around Farnworth, you could get it. But yeah, I've gone for fairly accessible too. It's a tough choice, isn't it? Because I've been thinking about my draft picks in two ways. One is like, what would be a really accessible introduction to this style? Like, yeah, it might not blow your mind, but there's nothing spiky. There's nothing that is off-putting about it. But you could also think, like, what is the best possible beer in this style? It might be, like, really full-on. Like, we could have easily looked at, you know, one of those tippers that appeared in everyone's top nine as, like, the ultimate expression of what an IPA could be.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think when we were on about recruitment and that was the idea of the actual show, I think going kind of safe. I don't think I kind of knew that you wouldn't go straight in with a triple IPA, so I was like,
oh, it's obvious I'm like, gonna go for a tipper.
I did know you was gonna go with Verdant though. I would have put any money that you would have been Verdant.
Yeah, I made like a bit of a short list and it looked like if you just search Verdant on Untappd.
Yeah. That's fine.
And, you know, below 7%. Yeah, I mean, it was inevitable, wasn't it? They were going to appear somewhere in my list.
The sound. So then, so let's like recap on that. So it's Into the Hairs versus Thanks a Million.
Yeah. So next up, the stout, I've gone a little more on the extreme scale with. So I'm going to go for the very first batch of my continuous improvement. Oh, I've just seen Ryan's face drop. Did you? Is this your draft pick? Onto the reserve for you. So this was just the no extra adjunct 11% MCI that came out, you know, probably a little bit later than this time last year. And my reason for that is that, so last year when we were in lockdown one, it was around that kind of VE day time when people were having like socially distanced cul-de-sac parties where everyone like pulled their garden chairs out to the front of their houses. And we had one of those in our estate. And Ryan, this was the day when we had a little like Zoom sync session, the first time MCI. And we finished our like little Zoom sync. And I was about a quarter of the way through this MCI. And I went out and sat in front of the house on this little deck chair. And I started pouring it into a glass. And someone was like, "Are you drinking cake mix?" Pretty much, yeah. So what I did is I like took the can, put it about 2 meters away from the nearest person that I knew would like beer. And I was like, pour a bit into your own glass and see what you think. And it like gradually made its way around the cul-de-sac and everyone was like, "Oh my God, what is this?" It's like, this is stout. It's not that like overly bitter, roasty, foamy pub drink. Like this is what stout can be.
Yeah, I agree. Like
the same with Katie. She was like, I think she said it's like cold hot chocolate. Like, yeah, totally agree.
Someone, yeah, I was it. That was top of my list. And I had a sneaky suspicion that you were going to go my continuous improvement original as well. I was like, I think he's going to go there. But I did the snake thing differently in my head. So I was like, I'm going to get to pick that first. Oh, so it's fine. It's all good. So I've got a reserve anyway. So my reserve is the Robust Porter from Burning Sky.
That was my reserve.
Wow, that's weird. This beer for me is just phenomenal. I don't, for a UK brewed porter, there's nothing better. I've got really good memories drinking this in Brownhills in Leeds on cask. Just an unreal beer. Porter's jet black with like perfect white head, 5.8%. It's amazing from can, amazing on cask. I think it's like Marisota barley. It's really good. It's really roasty. Got a really, really good complex taste to it. Yeah, it's just a solid, solid part. You know, it's no adjuncts. There's just no silly adjuncts. It's just straight up great beer. And for me to introduce someone, I'd probably compare it. I think it would be a good comparison to someone who does drink Guinness. And if you were to offer them Burning Skies Porter compared to a Guinness, I know it's a porter, not a stout, but at the same time, I think it's got a few similarities. And I think the Guinness drinker will be a good convert. And that's another, it'd be a good gateway beer into maybe along the lines of a Guinness drinker to drink my continuous improvement. But yeah, I think I'm probably going to say that you're probably going to win that round. But
well, I picked that. You know, that's kind of all or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll probably get a vote off Ellie. that's it.
I mean, it deserves a vote, that one. The reason I had it is because Katie and I bought a load of Burning Sky a little while ago and we just decided to add some cans. It was like when you said have Devil's Rest and I think you said have the Robust Porter as well.
Yeah.
We were making dinner one weekend and it was at the back of the fridge and I thought, should we just try it now? It wasn't expensive. If we don't like it, we don't have to finish it. And we poured it and we just started sipping it. And then before we knew it, they were like both glasses were empty. We were like, oh, well, we weren't expecting to even finish that, let alone slam it.
Yeah, well, that's another thing as well. Like, if we look at the price comparison of the two beers which we've mentioned there, I think the Robust Porter goes between £3 and £4. I know the MCI's obviously got a lot more stuff in it and a lot stronger, but for someone who's going into the kind of scene, I think that would be the Robust probably does win on that side of it. But yeah, I think it's the same thing. For me, it was just like I remember having it again for the first time and just thinking, what is this? This is just a straight up great beer.
That's fantastic. So in terms of the snake draft, then I get to pick Sour now, I think, and then you get the final two first. So you
I go next. Game
two. Do you want to go next?
I go next. You've done
one and two. No worries.
Yeah. Sound. So for Sour, I've gone a little bit different. I haven't actually picked a specific beer. I've gone for a series.
Okay.
And it's the triple fruited Gerza series from North.
Interesting.
I couldn't really pinpoint a single one of their beers. I think they're all fantastic. Regular available. We have them quite monthly or every 2 months is a release of them. And like I said, I just think it's just one of those ones where the community kind of do get excited about the TFGs when they get released. I think there's a big, like, it's probably one of North's most recognized beers.
Yeah.
Easily. And it's one of those beers where you could just, it's a fun beer, and they're always playing around with the adjuncts and the different flavors. They're always high quality, really good fun as well. You know, they're very Instagrammable beers as well. I don't really want to say that, but they are. And I just think that for someone who hasn't had like that kind of sour beer experience, and you were to give them like a North triple fruit Gerza, I think they'll be, I think it's one of those which would win them over.
Yeah, I think you're right. If we think back to Arundel last year, I know that was like a tent full of beer lovers, but not necessarily sour lovers. And, you know, if we talk a little bit more broadly about converting people, I think that can kind of mean to styles as well. And I've never seen, other than maybe Strawberry Skies, I didn't see anyone get as excited for something coming out of the tap.
Yeah, that Boysenberry birthday, North TFG, I think it sold out. That was the first beer or the second beer to sell out on the weekend of the festival. Yeah. But people I think in that area, they've never experienced anything like it. So and when people are wandering around with a glass full of purple compared to yellow or black, they're kind of like, what is that they're pouring?
Yeah,
if it's just one of those great beers, a great series, like I say, and people just genuinely seem to get excited for them.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Charlie? What have you gone for?
I've gone a bit highbrow.
Here we go.
So I'm going to go for Mills Picture Pot Blend 2.
Oh, that's a good one. One of the Mills was my reserve.
Oh, which one?
Glass.
Ah, yeah, obviously. It's your favourite Mills ever.
Yeah, it's my favourite Mills. But that's, yeah, carry on, man.
So Picture Pot Blend 2. Cast your eyes back to this time last year. I'd drunk sours before, like we'd been to Shares, you know, it was nearly friends and family time where we had a load of them at Shares, and I tried a few in the festival, but I was like a staunch fan of hops and stout, and I had absolutely no interest in anything wild or spontaneously fermented, really. You know, I used to trade mills because I used to want to get hops, you know, sorry, please don't shoot me, I don't do it anymore. But I decided to take a swing on a bottle of Mills that I had, and it was a really sunny day. We were sat on chairs out on the patio. We had some lunch. As I recall, we had like a homemade quiche, and I just cracked out this bottle of Picture Pot with almost no expectations. Like, in fact, I was kind of expecting to hate it, to be honest, and then regretted that I didn't trade it. And we had, I don't know, 2-3 sips each, and we were like, okay, we're never trading these again because they're really, really good. And I ended up like, I was lucky enough to get quite a few bottles of Picture Pot. And I think out of the four or five that I had, I might have one left on the rack somewhere. It's like hook, line, and sinker into sours.
Yeah, it's a stunning beer. I mean, that's a good competition, that one. That's the triple fruity Gerza against Mills is going to be an interesting one.
It is. I mean, that Mills, it's not the highest ABV, which I think lends to its accessibility. It's like 6%. And it's dry hopped, which is weird for that style of beer. And I think for that reason, it was like a really nice transition for me because I've been so used to things that were hoppy. And it was hopped with Sriracha Ace, as I recall, which is like quite divisive, but you know, it kind of lent into that funky thing with it being a bit lemony and a bit cheesy. And yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I really hope they bring out a Picture Pot 3. That'll probably make my next draft pick if we ever did this again. All right. So now we move on to Crispy. It's my pick now, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to go straight down the middle on the nose. Don Zirko, Big Foam.
That's a good choice. That was my reserve.
I'm not, or well, I haven't until very recently been into lager at all. I used to think there was, you know, there wasn't such a thing as craft lager. It was just lager. I mean, obviously now I know I was wrong. But Big Foam, it's not only a beer that kind of converted me to lagers. Like my, you know, when I go down to Cornwall, I drink a little bit with my parents. And although, like you, my mum loves the crafty stuff, my dad couldn't be less interested in it. But I gave him like half of a can of Big Foam. He was like, oh, this is good, this. It's like, yeah, it's really good. I said, I've been telling you it's good for ages. Like, you don't need to act so surprised. But I think, you know, I think that's probably quite an obvious choice in lager because that seems to be like a bit of a people's favourite. But, you know, it's a people's favourite for a reason.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, full caveat, I'm not really much of a lager expert. I just know that I really like that. And I think it's accessible.
So, yeah, Big Foam was actually my reserve. But I've gone with, for my selection, I've gone with Rothaus Pilsner.
You're not going to believe it. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. I can see it on your screen. Yeah. So, this one, I mean, I've always liked lager. Then when I kind of got into like the crafty stuff, I kind of left it behind and then more recently picked it back up.
Mm.
And having that first bottle like Rothaus like a long time ago was just, it's perfect. I think it's the fact that it's so cheap as well and it's so accessible.
Oh, it's kind of expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those beers you can just literally pick up from a lot of your local bottle shops usually have it in. I mean, seeing people at Christmas, the majority of people on Instagram had a keg of it, like a mini keg for Christmas, shows how popular and liked it is. I just, like, it's, like, similar. It's just one of those straight-up, really good, clean, easy-drinking lagers. Don't really think it's kind of difficult, I think, to compare a lot of different lagers, but for that one, for me personally, it's just that kind of experience of drinking it and having it in the summer as well. It kind of gives like good vibes when you just, anytime you kind of drink it, it's just got good vibes.
One thing I really like about it, and actually lagers in general, because, you know, I love a bit of beer photography. I love posting things and, you know, trying to be a bit arty with it. But sometimes that does take a little bit away from the experience. But if I've got a lager, I don't feel like pressured to take a photo of it. And like, it's just really easy to enjoy without interrupting it with anything else. Like, you just completely be in the moment with it. Sounds a bit
Funny. I think that's a good point, isn't it? Like, definitely, you know, there is people like, I love taking the picture for Instagram, but at the same time, it's nice sometimes just to have those beers that you can just actually open up and just actually go, oh, I just enjoy this, just enjoying what it actually is. But yeah, that's a good, it's a good battle as well. Two good picks.
Yeah, I think you might have that one. I really do.
So leading on to the final category, which is the wild card game changer, which is the beer of all beer, which you give someone to convert them. So this is actually one from my own experience. And I'm going down to your neck of the woods.
Interesting.
To your favourite brewery.
Right.
And mine is Fruitsight Car Exhibition from Verdun.
Interesting. Okay.
This one is, for me, 2018 Hopsay, drinking Other Half, Equilibrium. You know, some of the best like breweries in the world, and then I'll go to Verdun, who've made this Citra Dipper for exclusive for the festival, and having that for the first time just absolutely blew everything away. Just blew everything out of the way. It's one of those beers I was generally excited then after the festival to hear they were canning it. But yeah, for me, it was just one of those. It just stood out so much. It was completely different. Like, you go to these festivals, especially like the all you can drink ones, and it gets to the point where all the yellow IPAs and dippers and triple IPAs all start just blending to one on your tongue, and they all start to just be like the same beer. And I think I was about an hour and a half into Hopsay, and I went to Verdun to have this, and it tasted nothing like any of the other beers. It just stood out by a country mile. And for me, that's the one which I always kind of go back, and when I do see it and it's out, I always go out and buy it. And that's, for me, is the one that I would give to someone and say, look, this is the beer for me which would convert you into craft beer.
I can see where I was tempted to include it, really tempted, based on the fact that, you know, the spirit of this game changer one is like pushing whatever that style is to the extreme. And I think using one hop, I have no idea how they do what they do. I mean, we all know they make good haze, But there's something about that. From the moment you see it poured and it looks like blended Simpson coming out of the tap, that's so luminous yellow. Like you can tell there's something different about it. And yeah, it's a fantastic choice, that one.
Cheers, man.
Right.
Why are
So
you so open?
my game changer, I've gone in completely the opposite direction. I think the only American one so far.
Yeah.
You haven't had any USFI, have you?
No, I kept it in the
So,
US.
again, this is based on my experience, but also is, I was already a drinker of beer by this point, but a bottle logic concentrated solution.
Wow.
So concentrated solution is a 15% Imperial barrel aged stout. It's a collaboration between Bottle Logic and Microphone. I think I mentioned it on one of the Triple Hopped episodes before, but I think I just need to kind of reiterate how mad it is. Like I've said that I've shared a few beers with my mum. She loves beery stuff in general, but she's not a huge fan of the dark stuff. It was a day in summer where we had a bit of a me and my friend had a bit of a session, shared quite a few things, wanted to kind of end on a bit of a bang. He's not tremendously into stouts either. And I poured this out into three glasses. And we all took a sip and kind of looked at each other. And I think the first thing my mum said was, "This is like blended Christmas cake." I was like, "Yeah, it really is, actually." And then I kind of did a bit of a look at what the ingredients were. And it's walnuts, ex bourbon, ex maple syrup, and ex vanilla barrels. And then they added another 2,200 pounds. So that's 1,000 kilos of maple syrup to the final product. It's like, it's no wonder it's a bit special. It poured like engine oil. It was madness. Stuck to the side of the glass. I think you probably could have stood a spoon up in it if you wanted. But I think that is like, for me, that is like the essence of a game changer. I had a bit of a, I was going back and forth between having that or one from friends and family, which was the brewery's. Do you remember that Black Tuesday blueberry pancake thing they had on?
Yeah, the 19 or 21% style, which was,
Yeah.
yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
It was madness. It was madness.
I think the best thing about that as well, just going on that, but kind of before we kind of come to the end of this bit, it was the fact there was no queue and you could just stand and drink this stout and everyone was queuing up for all the, obviously the big American boys. But then there's this one just sat there and it's like, yeah, I'll just have this.
So yeah, I had it at fairly like quite an early time in the session to be drinking something's nearly 20%.
Yeah.
I went up to the stand and I was like, "Oh, what have you got on?" He goes, "Oh, we've got this." And then I looked down at the ABV. I was like, "Oh, 19%, maybe a bit later." He was like, "I'd have it now, mate, or you're gonna miss it." I was like, sold. Okay. Sold to the man with the weapons grade stout.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I had to go and wash my glass after that one for sure. That was so viscous.
Was good.
That is absolutely mental.
Yeah, my actual backup, because I actually thought you might go Verdant. My actual backup was a DDH, Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that was what I was gonna go, but I just kind of went on my experience with the Verdant, so we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fruit Car is a strong pick for that because, I think for a lot of people that will be their favorite beer from Verdant,
Yeah.
for good reason. It is absolute madness. And I think they're actually brewing it again at the minute. Not to be too contemporary with it, but good news for everyone. So, should we just run back through our picks a second and just remind people what we've chosen? Do you want to go first?
Yeah, it's fine. So for my IPA, I went for Into the Haze from Daya. For my dark beer, I went Burning Skies Robust Porter. The sour, I went for the Triple Fruit Gozer series from North. My crispy lad, I went for Rough House's Pils. And then for my wild card, I went for Fruit Sidecar Exhibition from Verdant. And by
Amazing.
yourself, one.
So I went pale or IPA. I went for Verdant. Thanks a million. They're all Mosaic pale. For dark, I went for the very first brew of Cloudwater's My Continuous Improvement. For sour, I went for Mills Picture Pot Blend 2. Crispy Boys, I went for Donzoco Big Foam. And then for a game changer, I went for Bottle Logic and Microphone Concentrated Solution. Probably should clarify that's the 2021 because I think they've done couple of vintages of it. So I think we've got really strong picks between us. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the people vote on. Just a reminder to everyone, we're going to be posting our selections on a story on the Triple Hop poll, and doubtlessly we'll be promoting it from our own profiles too to drive people there. So vote for your favourites. And also, if you want to DM us with your selections, or if you've got any comments on the show, any feedback, you know, things we can do better, or if you just want to say hello, please do just drop us a message. But, you know, definitely send us your selections for the craft beer conversion kit, and we'll read them out at the beginning of the next show. Just want to say a big thanks to everyone listening. You know, this is the first of what I'm hoping is going to be many episodes in this series, but a couple of fumbles here and there, but I think we got through it okay. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next show, where we're going to be taking it in turns to launch some of our, as I said earlier, beery pet peeves into our brewery room 101 once and for all. So thanks everyone for listening. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Thank you.